It's day, well, we have no idea, 35 or 36, and we have our very special friend, Tim Brunner, on the line from the Oh Brother podcast. He was also in a large television show a couple of years back. You might remember him from that. Tim's on the line, and we're going to have a good old... Oh, no, what's happened? Something just happened.
Oh, gee whiz.
Oh, well, anyway, that ruined it, but... Oh, your chat's open.
That's all right. Just keep...
Oh, no, you added us back on Skype. That's what the noise was. Go, just go.
Anyway, hi, Tim. How are you going?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good, good. So, I wanted to jump straight into it and talk to you about, a very important issue. It's been all over the news, radio, online, newspapers, and that's the issue of Gretel's pants on Sunday night. Have you got any thoughts regarding...
Well, you know, I did notice the pants, but I wasn't as offended as some people obviously were. Isn't it amazing what people pick up on? I mean, I just didn't think that anyone looks good in those pants, let alone Gretel.
Well, apparently they're in. We've been getting emails and threads on the forums.
Lots of Photoshops of it.
Yeah.
Well, I happen to think that Gretel was actually a beautiful woman, and I think it's difficult for her. Like, how many women who work professionally on television have to stand before an audience, not sit, twice a week? Like, it's actually a pretty big thing, and getting outfits must be quite a difficult project. And I just think the discussion of her, sartorial choices it's not one that I'm, considered to be part of my project, I suppose.
It's just, I think it's because everyone's just bagged her out so often that it's just something that happens every week, so... But now we've discussed that important issue.
I have a question, though. Do you think she's been getting a bit angry on stage, a bit spiteful of the housemates?
People said that she was a bit tetchy at Nick.
Nick even said on the radio that she was being a bitch to him. I didn't see that at all.
When you look at the way she treated Bodie, which was almost like they'd had a few drinks and are at the back of some bar, I just don't think you can make a blanket rule about Gretel. I think probably like any media professional, she has good nights, bad nights, happy nights. I mean, think about how much work the show is for her. How many shows did she present? Two a week. Mm. Over many, many years, I'm sure she's going to have good nights and bad nights.
I just think she's one of those interviewers who shows a little bit of what she feels, not just a blanket, I'm just an interviewer, I'm just the host. And she shows a little bit of the things that she thinks. And I think I like Gretel. I do bag her out, but I do like her. I think she's a great host and all these things. No, you should get rid of her. She's part of the show. She's going to be there till the show burns down, really.
Oh, I think she's part of the furniture. I think part of the show's success is her. When I went on to Big Brother myself, the kids talked about winning a car and that sort of thing. But they almost every single one of them talked with great glee and excitement about talking to Gretel. Like, that really was one of the focuses and highlights of their Big Brother experience.
And it is one of the only people you get to talk to, other than Big Brother and the producers in the diary room. It's the only other contact you have and someone else you can actually see on Fridays. Is that how it feels when when she comes on the TV?
I think so. She's sort of your friend. She's sort of the actual... She's not Big Brother. She's this other figure who's sort of there, your guardian angel sort of thing. That's how it feels, I suppose, when you're in the house.
Yeah.
And I think that she's a very... people always ask me, what is she like? And I say, well, you've actually seen her as much as I have. Like, the interaction you've seen me have with her is as much as I've had. Like, it's not like you sort of talk to her off camera or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know her any better than anyone else.
When you're in the house, though, did you actually get excitement at speaking with Gretel on eviction nights? Because basically she was the only person outside the house you talked to.
Of course, and of course it was vitally important also to really listen and memorise what she said, because the questions she asked were pointed to what was happening on the outside and what they were showing. And so I was always very cognizant of what she was saying so that I could use it in my strategy. And so when she kept asking me about being little guy doing weights and how was I going with my weights, I knew that it was getting, obviously that was a story thread. So I kept doing it and I played that up, you know what I mean?
So all the secrets come out now. You heard it first on Behind Big Brother.
Well, it's a very important part of the show to know what's going on in the outside as best you can, work it out and talk about it. And, I used to always flirt with her and ask her to come and mine opals with me in Coober Pedy or marry me and move up the North Coast, all that sort of thing, because that interaction with her was fun. And I think I think she's a really important part of the show. She's a very smart woman. She's written books. She's a comedian. I really like her.
Yeah, another thing about speaking to, you know, people from the outside world, I've always thought that I'm always against the ninjas on Friday Night Live, because to me, Big Brother and the whole empire, I guess you could call it, and the whole idea is that the people inside the house have no contact with the outside world. And to me, the ninjas are outside world, even though they're, you know, not wearing, I mean, you can't see them. But did you feel like that they were someone else and they were, I don't know, it's just an interesting perspective to ask you, someone who's been in the house. To me, they shouldn't be there. And it's, the whole thing is about seclusion. And did you feel like gypped at all? Or was it just more excitement because it's someone else you haven't seen? Or
it's funny, when I do a podcast on a website called Free Digital Content.
We speak to
housemates from past and present. And one of the interviews we did last year was reminding me that we were the year that actually first had Friday Night Games and first saw the ninjas. And originally we dubbed them the Gimps because they resembled the character out of the Tarantino film. And then it was only later that we actually settled on the name ninjas. So the ubiquitous term, which is now used by the show, was actually our term. Originally, there was a director sitting up above the action who wasn't wearing a balaclava. In fact, there was a couple of them. And it was only until we started to talk about them and how one of them was a woman and was quite attractive. And it was only when that discussion began to ensue that they actually all started covering up. Because obviously we were the first year. And of course it was a huge factor to see people there and to think that you weren't actually alone.
Interesting.
And I think that's a good segue into our next topic that I want to bring up. And I'm sure you're sick of talking about this, but the whole Emma thing with her being told about her dad.
Not being told.
Yeah. Because we listen to you do radio interviews around the country and even the BBC.
Are you referring to the interviews you may have heard me replay on my podcast?
Those ones.
Yeah, that one on freedigitalcontent.com, I think it was. Yeah,
freedigitalcontent.com. It's called Our Brother, actually, just so you guys know. But we speak to all the housemates on the podcast. We spoke to TJ, Bodie, Kate, the White Room Evictees, Pete Timms. We actually spoke to Marion Farrelly, and you guys did a little piece on this. One of the senior producers from the last couple of years. And spoke to Fitzy. He told me that I was his favourite housemate of all time, which is very nice of him. And Claire last year, because she's jetting off to Borneo. And spoke to Gretel. Spoke to Michael from last year, who's a very bitter man about the show. Very bitter man.
He is very bitter, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a bitter man. And because he wrote his story for the Sydney Morning Herald. You guys would have seen a copy of that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And yes, certainly very. You know, he's not happy at all with Big Brother, and he really has a project to discredited. He was in the Sunday Telegraph in Sydney last week, you know, being quoted by a journalist bagging the crap out of the show.
I don't think he's not going to get very far with that one, because people have tried before. And
well, there's even that letter from have you read it, the one from Chris Noble that he wrote the letter to the editor saying that everyone's willing to, you know, jump on the Big Brother bashing bandwagon, but they haven't actually, with this whole Emma thing, they haven't looked at Emma's feelings and how her family is feeling. They've just think, oh no, Big Brother should tell him. Big Brother's bad. Big Brother has no morals and no ethics and rah, rah, rah. And I thought it was a great letter, especially from one of the producers. He's not just going to sit back and hide behind press releases. He's actually going to actively go out and say, no, you guys have missed the whole point of this, and it's that someone's father has died.
One of the few times where we've actually agreed with the producers.
Yeah.
I just think that they're a little bit sensitive too. Like, I just think that people love to define themselves by what they're not a lot of the time. People love telling you how crap Big Brother is. Before I went on the show, I loved telling everyone, because it gives you a certain status to say, oh, I don't watch Big Brother, that's so low culture, that's such rubbish. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a very... Yeah, people do attack Big Brother, and they attack the people who go on it, and they attack the people who make it. And some of that's for good reason, but I also think that they're too sensitive. Like, the fact that people are talking about you at all is a really positive thing. You've only got to try and produce a podcast and try and build an audience from the ground up to know how important it is to have the audience. I'd love it if people were bagging out my show every 2 days in a paper. So I think that they're probably a little bit sensitive. I think, of course, he's right, though. You know, the fact is that, you know, it was Emma's father's dying wish. It was her wishes, which she stated before you go in the house. Because before you go in, you write down three things you want to be notified about, important things. If they happen while you're inside the house, you can't put down, you know, I want to know if Collingwood wins, you know, three or four games in a row, or, you know, it have to be serious things. And, of course, I put the death of my parents and family. In fact, the other one I put down was a joke one, because I tried to put jokes all the way through my questionnaires and stuff, which is part of the reason I'm sure that they actually put me on the show. My third reason was I want to know if the guy next door who coughs all night at 3 o'clock in the morning dies, because he's the only reason I'm going on the show, just to get away from him. So I had all these silly things up on the show, put in the questionnaire, but I think he's right. She wanted it. Her father wanted it. So it's not really anyone else's business.
This dog's going crazy next to where we're podcasting, so sorry if they're coming through.
No, that's all right. I think young people want to go on TV. They are excited by that prospect. They're not scared, and they're not intimidated by the media anymore. They're totally media savvy. In fact, they don't want to watch and consume the media anymore. They want to produce it, and that's why broadcasting medias are dying, and things like your show and my show are going up in the increase. Narrowcasting, YouTube, of course, MySpace, blogging, all those things are people, instead of consuming, sending messages back out into the world. And I think Big Brother's a really good example of that. People just saying, yep, I'm as good as that. I can produce media. I can be in the media. But, you know, this generation's very media savvy. They've seen politicians stay on message, and they know when they're just saying the same thing over and over again. They understand what's happening in the media, and they want to have a shot. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for someone like Emma. Maybe this is a rough thing to say, but, you know, perhaps I can put it this way. One of her best attributes is her looks. And I think
because she doesn't have much else going, because she's just really a giant bitch. And
I couldn't possibly say that, of course. But I think that she's got this. You know, this is the reality is she's going to be on a whole lot of, whole lot of men's magazines, posing, doing all that sort of stuff. And her dad knows it's a meal ticket, and it knows it's a big opportunity for someone like Emma, especially. And so he doesn't want to disturb that. And I think Chris Noble's quite right in the sentiments, as I've been saying to Sunday Sunrise, BBC, 2GB, Howard Sattler, everyone. Sorry, I finished speaking.
Oh no, I was trying to think of a segue, but I'm just going to change the subject completely. This whole Andrew Haley garbage, what's going on? And on, what was it, Monday night nominations, when Andrew tried to put himself up, to me, that immediately screamed, I want to get out as well. And do you think that that's why he would have done that, to put himself up, even though he couldn't, because he wants to leave, or doesn't want to leave on his own accord, would rather leave for the public voting him out, or sort of?
I think he's just really split in, I think without Haley, he's a bit rudderless. But you know, you can look at it two ways, guys. You can either say this is a really good piece of strategy. I remember in my year when Kate nominated herself, or somehow got herself nominated. I can't remember exactly how she did it, but it was like, it was so insincere. You know what I mean? It was a real sort of, I want to know what it's like. I want to feel what it's like to be up, blah, blah, blah. I think what he's saying is, I nominated Zoran for 2 points and then I saved him. Look at how I've stuck it up, Big Brother, because effectively what I'm doing is rebelling against the nomination process at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not a bad guy. I don't want to nominate any of my friends. I'm the good guy. I don't enjoy this. Someone like Emma might love it, you know, spend all week thinking about it. But, you know, I hate having to nominate my friends. It's a part of the show I don't enjoy. So I think it's actually, you can look at it two ways. Either he just doesn't care and he's rudderless without Haley, or he's being really strategic in what he's doing and saying. And I would always err on being really strategic. I don't actually buy it that any housemate ever in the Big Brother house is not playing the game. They are all playing the game.
That's what I've said for all along, that Haley and Andrew, once they were told, okay, you're going in as a couple, there was no way that they couldn't have sat down and think, how are we going to do this? And they must have a huge plan. And it's working that Haley's got kicked out because Big Brother decided he didn't want her anymore.
Well, at least it's better than what they did my year, where they left the two of them there until, and no one voted for them because there was two of them. And no, it's exactly the same with Haley and Andrew. No one voted for them because but you just don't vote for two people. It just doesn't, do you know what I mean? You're voting for two, not one. It's just a weird thing. It just doesn't happen. People just don't vote for them. And then by the time they decided to get rid of them, it was almost just about the time that David was going to become a millstone around Greg's neck. You know, it was really going to start to drag Greg down. So they almost waited too long, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And what they should have done was asked who the couple wanted to nominate to leave, and then done the reverse. They should have thrown out Haley. That's what I think. They should have thrown out Andrew.
See, all these ideas that we're just coming up with, and why can't the producers come up with this? I'm really, I get so frustrated that they use these things over and over and again, and they just can't. And we come up with simple, well, relatively simple ideas that they should listen to the public, that the producers should listen to our podcasts and take our ideas.
But the thing is,
well, I'm sure that they do.
Sorry. You go.
They've almost had too many ideas. I think I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now on this podcast I do on free digital content. But I've been saying it. I've been saying, look, there's just too much going on. There's just too much white noise. You know, like, more than, consider this, more than half of the housemates aren't ordinary housemates. And what I mean is they're not just someone who on day one arrived in the house with their suitcase. They are either intruders or golden key winners or ex-boyfriends of couples or couples or voted in from white rooms or came in because of a public vote from a white room or whatever it is. You know, 8 of the 15 or whatever it is are not, you know, are not actual housemates. Housemates.
Yeah,
they've all got backstories. It's too complicated. There's too many ideas. We haven't had a chance to meet any of the housemates.
Yeah, I agree that it's been crammed in too fast in the first few weeks, but we get annoyed because what they have crammed in is things that have been used in one form or another already, and not just copying international Big Brothers, but a lot of this stuff we've already seen on Australian Big Brother. And, yeah, we just get annoyed that they... Surely they must read the forums, and I'm sure they listen to our podcast, your podcast on freedigitalcontent.com.
Bing.
And we're just.
I think they probably only really listen to it when it's bad.
We're wondering why some of the suggestions, because the fans have great suggestions, none of these are coming into play.
And a whole, we had a poll on the front page of Behind Big Brother. What was it? Are you happy with this year of Big Brother? And there was something like 4,000 votes, and 70% of them, no, we're not happy. That's, I know that probably means nothing in terms of demographics and how many people watch the show. But that's a lot of people that aren't happy with the show. So, I don't know. I mean, I still watch it every night, but...
Except nomination.
They have to pay heed eventually, and I'm sure that there is some measure of two-wayness about suggestions that come through your show, my show, forums, that sort of thing. I mean, it must be an amazing exercise to even put on something like Big Brother. By the time you get to, you know, there's supposed to be so much organisation, the actual creative part must be, you know, a pleasure to be involved with. But I think that a little bit of getting back to basics needs to be done. I think that in some ways the mix of people I've got in this year I'm not completely happy with. I mean, we had a discussion last night where Travis was talking to Billy and Alicia about what Indian food was going to taste like. I mean, we're not exactly talking about rounded personalities when they haven't even had anything. You know what I mean? They've only eaten steak and two veg, Macca's and KFC in their life. They don't even know what Chinese...
And who's Susanna? Where does she come into this whole thing? Who is she? Like, No, the intruders who have been in, like, a few days or almost just over a week now are more interesting and have been given more airtime and have said more than Susanna has said in 5 weeks or 30-something days that she's been there.
I think it's really... it's a really important point you're making. There doesn't seem to be a really genuine attempt to get people... Perhaps I'm... judging a bit too quickly, though. Maybe it's a situation where we've just got to wait a little while to see some of these other people come out. The Joel, I mean, I don't, everyone says Joel's this funny guy, and I've just never seen him crack a joke.
I've never seen it happen either, except when he talks to Gretel and he says, oh, that was a joke. I can't even remember what it was that stupid. But that's the only time I've ever laughed at him.
I just think there's a real problem in that. How do you know what is going on when they put so much stuff that obfuscates just meeting and learning about the housemates, all these other bells and whistles things. We actually really haven't seen very much of the house itself. I think, you know, Uncut has also had an impact. I think not having a show where they show... I mean, I don't know why they don't, or if they do really, show clips, you know, the naughty clips on Mike Goldman's show.
Hmm. He's got the rating for it. It's got an MA rating, so I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah, so I don't understand why they don't. If they're not going to show that stuff, they don't show it then. I mean,
Didn't we find out that at the same time Up Late was showing, there was a show on Channel 9 with which was all about naked people. And they were just showing full frontal nudity for the entire hour block, whereas Up Late censoring it every time.
But there's a difference, because it's a reality TV show and these are people from Australia's society, everyone's going to kick up a huge hissy fit, whereas if they're a recorded non-reality of such TV show, people are going to be more inclined or less inclined to complain about it. But
I think people just like to beat up Big Brother, and it's just like, you know, for a politician, for example, it's an absolute gift, because it's like burning the flag. It's one of those issues that really doesn't matter, doesn't make any difference to anyone's life anywhere, yet people have really serious opinions about it.
Like that person you were discussing on, I can't even remember their name, I didn't take any effort to remember it, the guy on news.com.au who wrote the blog about Emma and was saying how disgusted he was. He lives in Poland, and all he was running off was the newspaper articles for a website that he works for. He hadn't even watched the show. He hadn't even looked anywhere else. He was like, oh, well, the newspaper article here on news.com.au. I just wanted to throw something large and hard at him. Who is this guy just commenting on it just to get... And he's got like 70 pages worth of comments on there. That would have been all it was for. He doesn't watch the show. He doesn't even live in the freaking country. And he's commenting on something he has really no sort of interest in.
Yeah, and I think it's part of the I'm going to show how creative I am by bagging something that I know nothing about and attacking. I mean, I've been writing stories for some time about, you know, are you smart enough for Big Brother? And actually saying to uni students, if you want to see something different, if you want Big Brother not to be an Olympics of boganism, then you've got to go on it. You can't sort of moan and whinge about it, but not actually be prepared to put your money where your mouth is. Now, that's a slightly glib argument, but you can see where I'm coming from. If you're not prepared to actually say, I'm a bit different, I'll go on this show. It's like when people say to me, you know, it takes no skill to go on Big Brother. And the first question you ask them is, would you go on Big Brother? And they go, no. I say, well, why not? Because I wouldn't want to be put in that situation. I wouldn't last 5 minutes. I'd punch someone, blah, blah. I say, well, there you go. How can you bag these people out and say it takes no talent when you would never go on it yourself? It does take a certain kind of personality to want to go on this sort of show, or certain kinds of skills. It's all part of this, you know, beating up on pop culture, which is, you know, people seem to get so much pleasure from.
I don't know. I'm just, well, yeah, we do our fair share of bagging it up, but we still love it at the end of the day. And the reality is, it's not going anywhere. Even though viewers may fall to under a million, that is still a huge amount of people for Australia. And the show's not going anywhere. It makes money. It works, as much as we don't like it. It's there to stay, really. It's not going anywhere.
But you guys attack it from a totally different perspective. You attack it as you attack your mum or your dad or your brother or sister when you get angry and you shout at them. You attack them as a loving, you know, because you're so casual and there's so much love there that you can treat them poorly, you know what I mean?
And I can because I auditioned, so I was prepared to
okay,
go.
I will try and audition for next year. And I won't give them responses like, be me, tell them what they want to know.
Oh, fuck you. Just because I ended up on the news. Anyway,
did you end up on the news?
Yeah, local news.
On Perth Channel 10 News.
It was because I was wearing a white shirt and they needed to, like, I don't know, stabilise the camera levels or whatever.
White balance.
Yeah, and then they just turned around and I said something ridiculous and it ended up everywhere.
Well, that's such a coincidence, isn't it?
And they know what Tim and I look like now anyway, because we've got our photo on the front page, so they'd probably kick us out if they saw us.
Oh, so are you Tim and Dave, are you?
Yeah. Tim and David.
Oh,
David,
I know that, but I'm just saying I didn't realise that we were now, you know, I was allowed to call you that.
Oh, yeah, you can if you want.
Well, you're allowed to Skype us anytime you want now.
I'm ready to, you know, vid and vibe you the whole time. Not that I've actually used that, but I didn't realise that we were going public. Yeah, look, I think people just get so much pleasure from bagging the show when they really don't know anything about it. And I think that, you know, if you've got half a brain, we actually need people on Big Brother, because the reality is this is what people are watching. You can go on ABC local radio, or, you know, write along with a story for Green Left Weekly or some other, you know, marginal magazine and convince all the people who already were convinced about your views. Go on a show like Big Brother, you've actually got a chance to show Australia you are a hardcore Muslim and you believe that's the right way to go, or you are a lefty and that's important, or you are a Hillsong Christian, or you are a greenie, or whatever it is. And I think that's where the show needs to be going.
Well, there were those types of people, well, at least from the few minutes that I saw of footage on the Starburst thing, all those, you know, competitors or the winners, they did seem like those kind of people. There were a lot older people there. They were the ones who wouldn't necessarily just sign up for Big Brother or wouldn't get through the first stages. And I wanted to see some of them get through, really. And
I wanted to see a fat person get in.
Yeah.
Did you think Nick fitted in, and did you think that was due to the fact that he wasn't selected from 40,000 people? I mean, one hates to be an elitist as a Big Brother housemate, but do you think that he stood out because he wasn't selected from 40,000 people, that he was selected from 100 or whatever it was?
Nick really confused me, because when he got evicted and he was on stage with Gretel and on nominations, he was this completely different person. Like, not just slightly different, I'm a little bit more bitchy, totally different Nick. And even in the house, he had said, oh, you know, I can't be myself, if I pass this eviction, I'm going to be myself, and the real Nick's going to come out. But he was so different and so bitchy, and I think that was what they put... That was why he got selected, or that's why he got put in, because they saw the outside of the house Nick, which was a bitch who was going to stir some trouble and, you know, stir the pot. And then when he went in, he just, in the beginning, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm really confrontational. I'm going to go and hide now. And was really just a bitch behind everyone's back, which is, I mean, great viewing, but for the house, it doesn't really change anything. And that's why he got evicted. Well, that and he was an intruder, and they always get evicted.
So you didn't think that he was watered down? Because maybe it's just I'm allowing the knowledge of how he went in there to affect me, but I just had this whole thing the whole time that he just didn't fit, that they sort of do manage to, in some part, select quite interesting and big personalities, and he just didn't seem to have the right mix. Maybe that's unfair. Like, they get it wrong sometimes with someone like Susanna, who's just disappeared.
But I think it would be... Being an intruder is just hard on itself, as in going in when these people already have relationships. They may have only been in there for, 20-something days or 19 days whenever he went in. But they've spent 24 hours around each other, and the relationships have formed, and going in, it would be hard, but just completely different person. I don't know if he... I don't know, I'm not sure. I haven't... Yeah.
I don't think he really earned his place in the house. Not in the way someone like Bodie, who was just couldn't shut up and was a gorgeous guy who was just used to being king shit, and suddenly he wasn't. And so he was just going to blue with anyone who came anywhere near him. Or Emma, who's just unbelievably attractive, but also unbelievably sort of bitchy. The way Thomas is this big, tall, gorgeous guy, but actually he's a sexual egomaniac who... You know, has to constantly be reassured by the women around him that he is the sexiest person in the room, and tell stories to
don't
other
cry,
housemates.
I might have to hug you. Don't do that.
And wants to sexually manipulate Nick, TJ, Haley, now it's Susanna, who, you know, who else is there? You've got Jamie, who's sort of representing this sort of nerdy character, and I think if he stays a bit longer, we'll start to see a bit more of that. You have Rebecca, who is just this unbelievably irritating sort of person, the kind of girl I remember from sort of high school, is irritating, immature.
I don't
immature.
Find her as irritating. What's irritating about her? I think she's great.
I like Rebecca too, but it's mainly from a sympathy perspective, because she really cops it from Emma a lot of the time.
I think you're right. I do find her irritating, but I don't think that's really my point in this sense, that a lot of those housemates are genuinely fascinating, interesting people with very strange personalities and eccentricities. Now, not all Big Brother housemates are like that, but a lot of them are. They're quite interesting people. They're interesting combinations. I mean, Thomas, you know, is unbelievably, he's tall, attractive, muscular,
in love
you know,
with himself,
sporty, yet he still needs constant reassurance. They do manage to pick these really interesting personalities. I just don't think Nick really fitted that. Just like Susanna was a mistake. Susanna was a dud. Just like, you know, in my year, I can't even remember her name now. Mel was a dud.
She got quite close to the end.
Yeah, she was in the last.
Yeah, I remember. Blog, no, I was watching episode 11 or day 11 of your series the other day, and all these faces who I had completely forgotten about. It was the first time you got nominated, actually, Tim, and you took it so well on the chin. You were just like, hey, and Angela's going, are you all right? Are you all right? And started this big fight with, what was his name, Michael, and you're just sitting there, fine. It was really interesting watching you on TV again, but yeah.
It's funny, I try and watch it, and I find it really difficult. I just find it really cringy, and I find it really, really cringy. I've honestly watched about, I reckon, all told, about an hour, and I only even put it on when I've had a few drinks, and my flatmates go, "Oh, come on, let's put on a DVD of you," and because my parents bought a DVD burner and burnt a lot, not all of it, but quite a few episodes. And I just find it really embarrassing. It's just because so often what they're showing you is being, you know, when I'm telling Kate I really like her, or when I'm crying, or, you know, like, they're fairly, it's not like you're sort of cracking jokes and, you know, at your best all the time. You're often at your, very often that you're at quite embarrassing situations. You're not, so, I can't remember where we actually started with that, but that's
know.
Just my
no, I was just saying,
personal
I
reflection. But they do, look, they don't seem to be able to put on. They do make mistakes, and Mel was a definite mistake. She just disappeared. It was just, I knew it when I was in the house. She arrived, she was beautiful, and she obviously had displayed other things. She had a great back history, and that her family life was terrible, and, you know, she'd been given special consideration to get into university, and she was studying all these really interesting subjects at uni, very, very hard to get into. She was obviously very smart, but when she got on the show, she was just 19, and she just had no idea what she was doing.
Yeah,
and she just disappeared.
That's how I don't know, it's sort of the same thing that I feel with Travis. It's not that I don't like him. I just think he's one of those characters that says very few things and doesn't annoy anyone and is really, just takes everything on the chin. And he's going to be there till the end, and I really don't want him to win.
I don't want him to win either. I don't want him to win either, not because I dislike him, but I do think that you've got to be cynical enough to expect that someone who knows that their best attribute is their down-to-earth good-naturedness, and that's what people have been celebrating about them for many, many years, is that they're a big, you know, big friendly giant sort of character, that they're not aware of that, and they're not aware of how to do it. I remember speaking to Andrew in the rewards room a few weeks ago and going, "Mate, you know what's going on. You know what's going on. Andrew's trying to recruit you and bitch to you and stuff." And him going, "Oh, was it? Oh, is it? You know..."
He's just blasé about everything. Like,
you know what's going on, mate. You're not stupid, and you know that you're a shoo-in to win this show. So don't pretend that you're not, sort of thing.
Who's top of the moment? It's Thomas. Is. Oh, Travis is at the top again. Oh, it was Thomas for a little while to win the whole series.
Joel's doing very well as well, and I just don't know why. Even he and Zoran we've seen very little of. So I'm reserving my judgment, waiting for it to pan out a little bit more. Slightly frustrated by how much we actually get to see of the housemates. We seem to just focus on a couple of them, and I'd love to see a few more. We just had so many specials that I just don't feel connected. I'm sure in a couple of weeks we will be.
Well, I've always campaigned for a one-hour daily show, but it's never happened. I think that would make all the difference. And I think it's about two or three weeks that are coming up. It doesn't seem like there are any specials and things like that, and it's just going to be Big Brother. So I'm quite interested to see how, you know, my opinions are going to change greatly. I can imagine, because I'm going to be able to spend more time, but see these people, things that I haven't seen before, because they've been throwing in an intruder or the house has been shaken up by an eviction. Right, so...
Uncut, I think, is a big loss. I think Uncut, you know, when David last year was talking about getting rim jobs, that sort of thing, I think they're the kind of eye-opening, forgive the pun, or forgive the allusion, eye-opening sort of discussion that really gets you in and gives you that different perspective. And I think, you know, people write to me on this show that I do, and, you know, they say... I think, you know, when TJ was having a moan about how she was portrayed in the show in her local paper up in the Northern Territory, and this person said, "Hang on, what I saw on Up Late, uncensored, made her look even worse than the Daily Show made her look. So don't whinge about that." I think things like Uncut gave us that little snapshot into a different world. We saw them talking about different things, a different light, and they're the kind of things that can really change your opinion of someone and hold you for weeks and weeks on end and make you like them or make you not like them. It's those sorts of snapshots which I miss.
And it's the things that you remember as well. Like, when I think about other series, I remember things from Uncut. Like, even way back series 3 and series 2 when... was it series 2? I can't remember. When Nathan was on there and he, you know, they're doing the aerobics and he's making hilarious comments about whoever was taking it. They're the things that you remember because they're... they're stuff that you don't normally see on TV. And
it's what you actually watch it for, you know.
And it's what you think most of the time as well, and you've got opinions on it, whereas things in the house, oh, I think this person's a bitch, look what they did. You can't connect
exactly
with that.
That's a really important point. And you know, if they talked about politics or whatever, I'd love it, but, you know, it's unlikely to happen. But anything which is more important than just the food or the task or how Emma doesn't like Laura and how she should just fit in and blah, blah, blah. Yes, definitely. Any departure, you know, really excites me. It really, really does. I also think that BB suffers a little bit because it's slightly rudderless. You've got Mike Goldman on in the evenings, and he sort of presents such a cheesy, vacuous analysis, and that's his job. And he's not there to he's there to present the clips and just keep it rolling along at that time of night. And I accept that. But I think coming as an advertising voiceover guy, just like his dad, and the role he performs at the live performance as being the warm up guy, I think he doesn't really give you an in or give you any traction. Gretel doesn't really give you any traction. I think that BB lacks a commentary. I mean, I just don't know why there's not a commentary show or some kind of show where, you know, it's maybe it's at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, so it's a little bit more, they can show some of the racier clips. And they actually have a number of people or one or two people talking about the show and pulling clips up and dropping the back. I loved it when Gretel would sit on that big couch and you'd see she'd talk about Uncut and all those forms of the show, which we now don't see. I thought that was some of the best and most interesting parts of the show.
Well, they did have that show in Series 3, The Insider, with... Unfortunately, it was hosted by Tim Ferguson, which meant it was destined to be cancelled. But that was starting to get there. And I think they sort of based that off the one that's used in the UK called Big Brother's Little Brother, which is actually daily.
Yes, I think it lacks a focus. It's like you're in a plane looking out all the windows, looking out at everything, and all you need is a focus to something to look at.
I think that's why like Behind Big Brother and podcasts and things like that are so, especially about Big Brother, are so widely received, because you don't, on The Daily Show, all you're seeing is, you know, how they've put it together, and this is the sort of bland view from the house. But then when you've got other people commenting on it, and even our forums are amazingly popular, just because people want to know what other people think. So having, yeah, like a set of people discussing the show and...
But we do have Little Sis, after all.
Oh, do not even get me started on that.
You strip it back, and I think that there's a lot in what you're saying. I think we're not getting enough of that. I really think that they're missing an element. There's something missing from this year, whether it's just that there's been too many bells and whistles, so we haven't really had a chance to meet the housemates, or whether it's that the housemates aren't a very good selection this year. For some reason, the dynamic last year, or in my year, or in other years, was better. I suspect also it's got to do with those sorts of shows not being on, because they really gave you a feeling that you were dropping in and actually getting a proper look. And there's a little bit of opinion, there's a bit of selection. You know, you were getting the best of a week, if you like. It was more concentrated. And Gretel was there being very sarcastic, you know, making snide, sarcastic comments as she introduced each clip. I really liked that form. And just having Mike Goldman do his The Housemates argue about who's going to cook up the Indian meal coming up next on Big Brother, and then watching a clip of people, you know, poncing around, as you say, whinging about each other, it just doesn't... I think that there's more to the show than that. There's more to the format than that. And, you know, you have twice as many consumers of your product and behind Big Brother and the very interesting role that it fulfills. If, for example, it was an adult show rather than a kid's show, as it is in the UK. In the UK, it's a much rougher, nastier show. It's because it's not meant to be consumed by children.
And the next series starts tomorrow as well, so I'm going to officially give up on Big Brother Australia.
Okay.
We might wrap it up there. We're at 40-something minutes or something ridiculous. But would you like to plug your podcast, Tim?
Because, you know, we'll give you plug space.
Yeah, we'll give you plug space. Go.
I appreciate it. Well, you know, the podcast is on freedigitalcontent.com, but we've had some great stuff come out this year, which has actually been covered by Behind Big Brother. So that shows that it's interesting. We've had Kate tell us that she was diagnosed as schizophrenic before going in the show, or certainly her psych test showed that she was off the radar. We had Demi telling us that Rebecca's a real sex nuts, constantly talking about sex, and actually knows more about it than anyone else. So I don't know what those Mormons get up to in their Bible study groups. It doesn't sound like it's as much Bible study going on. We had the White Room evictees telling us that, and of course this is covered on Behind Big Brother, that they were actually let out of the White Room every day for about half an hour. So they actually weren't in the isolation we thought they were in. We also had we were told that Demi tried to conspire with Harrison to cut off her car and stop talking to her, ignore her, to freak her out. So we learned a few things there, and we've done lots of interviews with different people, ex-producers, Gretel.
And you've got a website coming, don't you? I think I heard on one of your other
We do podcasts. Have a website coming. We have a website coming, which is really exciting, which means we actually get to have the feedback, which we were just getting way too much mail. I've just cannot possibly go through the amount of letters. I mean, people write long letters anyway, but just the amount that I'm getting, I just can't. You know, I'm running a letter show at the moment, and I've got about 30 letters, and they're all like a page long almost. And so I've got to try and bring that down into like a 10-minute show, which is almost impossible. And I've got to rewrite, you know, condense all of them into two or three sentences. And so, and that's just since the last letter show we did last week. So just getting all these letters, and so I want to be able to have that feedback mechanism, like you, well, that you guys have to some degree now, with having commentary and being able to write the blogs, and we're hoping to get a function on that website, which will probably be www.obrother.com.au, where we can have forums so people can actually bring their own topics like they can on the official website.
Cool. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's podcast@behindthebrother.com. You can also call us voicemails, give us voicemails, although I think the lines are broken, but I'll get them fixed. And thanks for talking to us, Tim. I'm sure we'll do it again before the end of the season.
Let's do that. It's always a pleasure to chat to you.
And next time, you bring the topic list.
Yeah.
For a change, yeah, instead
it's,
of us.
It's hard,
us,
isn't it? It's.
Well, instead that's just interviewing you.
That's the beauty of me being on your show, is that you have to do the work.
But don't right, worry, next time we are guests of Oh Brother. It's
set. We'll do it on your show next time, and I'll do all the work. It's people don't realise how much preparation you have to put in to write all the questions, and that it actually takes me an hour almost to script all of my interviews with the evictees as they come out. So it's not a simple process. But don't worry, I'll grill you guys next time. I've already done one of your mates, and we'll jump into him again. Well, in fact, was I meant to say his name? I can't remember.
No, oh well, Mr. X.
Can you just beep that out or something? Yeah, sorry, yes. Mr. X. I've forgotten now. Can you please, could you mind beeping that out? I feel really embarrassed now. Oh, gee whiz.
Okay,
I've been here for 40 minutes and I lose my sense of who I am. All right, see you soon, guys.
Ciao.